Hello everyone, myself Professor Reena Pujara, having an industry experience of 6 years and 6 years into teaching. The Payment of Wages Act 1936. So when it comes to Payment of Wages Act 1936, there is one more act passed that is called as Minimum Wages Act. So here, what is the difference between Minimum Wages Act and the Payment of Wages Act? In Minimum Wages Act, we have tried to define the minimum wage rate to be paid to certain scheduled employment, and within it, the different class of employees need to be guaranteed of minimum wage rate. But then what we are talking here about Payment of Wages Act 1936 is to make timely payment of wages within prescribed time limit. The mode of payment, the method of payment, and we are also talking about the deductions that are permissible from the wages of any worker or any employee. And who will be the employee or employer who comes under the purview of this Payment of Wages Act 1936? The Payment of Wages Act regulates the payment of wages to certain classes of a person employed in industry, and its importance cannot be underestimated. See, now when we are talking about certain classes of employees, that means in an industry there are various classes of employees and workers. When we talk about wages, these forms the major economic objective of any employer worker to come in an organization and work. So this is the main motivation for any employee or worker to come and work, for some amount of wages. Now here, the wages which are being drawn by different classes of employees, different levels of employees are different. It becomes really difficult for those lower class employees who are drawing, minimum amount of money which are required to meet up their lively expenses, day-to-day expenses. It becomes very difficult for them if the interval is so long when it comes to payment of wages. So it applies to restricted class of employees, wherein any employer worker who is earning more than 18,000 in a month will be excluded from this act, that will not come under the purview of this act. Wages to certain classes of person and employed in industry, and its importance cannot be underestimated. The act guarantees payment of wages on time and without any deductions except those authorized under the act. Now there are some guarantees which are being given to such class of people, that is timely payment of wages, by specifying the time limit of a payment of this wages. Again, there are some restrictions made on deductions of on the wages of the employees or workers. Now this some deductions are being made with the interest of the employee or worker, for the interest of employee or worker. Now say for example, if we talk about contributions which are made for ESIC, that is employee state insurance. So in this case, employer and employee both contributes towards this social tool that is called as insurance, wherein 1.75% of the total wages and salaries of the employee is being deducted towards the contribution of ESI. So in this case, certain deductions are mandatory and which are authorized under the act, which are allowed to be deducted. But other than that, employer cannot deduct any amount willingly or voluntarily according to his wish. So certain guarantee is being given. Now in certain establishment, it was observed that in the case of punishment, the employer used to deduct salaries and wages, which is not permissible. It should be, fair and unbiased when it comes to payment of salaries and wages. The act provides for the responsibility for payment of wages. That means here they are specifying or nominating the people who will be responsible for the payment of wages. Now, when it comes to, you know, establishments which comes as a government undertaking, whether it be a public undertaking or state undertaking, so in this case, the associated government or the authority associated with will be responsible for the payment of wages. See, when we are talking about an establishment wherein there are managers who actually handles all the day-to-day activities happening in the establishment, whereas the actual owner is nowhere related to the day-to-day execution of responsibilities. So in that case, manager will be responsible for the payment of wages. In case if there is no manager, there is some supervisor who is being assigned such responsibilities, or there is one nominated person in an establishment who is responsible for the timely payment of wages, then that person will be responsible. In case we are talking about contract labors, so generally it is the responsibility of the contractor to pay the contract employees whom he has associated with the primary employer. The contractor responsibility of payment of wages. But in case if the contractor fails to make any payment, or maybe he is fraud and he has not made the payment to the contract laborers, then it becomes the responsibility of the primary employer to pay the wages. So here in this act, it is well defined who is responsible to pay the wages. Fixation of wage period, that means the intervals of this wage period. Time and mode of payment of wages, that means what should be the mode of payment of wages. Permissible deductions, that means what are the permissible deductions that can be made from the wages and salaries of employees or workers. Willingly, an employer cannot deduct anything what he wants from the wages and salaries. As also cast upon the employer a duty to seek the approval of the government for the act and permission for which fines may be imposed by him, and also sealing of the fines and so on. Now, when we talk about fines, what are fines? Fines are to be paid when certain rules and regulations which are not being followed or adhered. So in case employer has mentioned any of such rules and regulation in the terms of employment, wherein he can charge fine against that. So this has to be notified. Now say for example, whenever an employee or a worker working on the workplace cause some damage to the property, knowingly cause some damage to the property, then the fine has to be taken from that employee or worker. So now this has to be the percentage of the fine, the amount of the fine, and the ceilings, that means limitation, maximum fine which can be recovered from the employee or worker, has to be notified in advance, and he needs to take, or he seeks to take such permissions whether he can deduct such fines or not. If the permission is being given, he has that authority to take those fines by deducting from salary and wages of that particular employee or worker. Also, for a machinery to hear and decide complaints regarding the deductions from wages or in delay in the payment of wages, penalty for malicious and vexatious claim. So here we have set up a machinery or a hierarchy which is set up to hear the complaints coming from an employee. Maybe the employer is making always a delay in payments, knowingly maybe, or whatsoever reason. But then the employee feels that the payment are not being done timely, then they may approach to authority which is set up according to the machinery, and who will take appropriate actions as prescribed in the act. And if they find that there are some deductions which are made and which the employee feel is not fair, then again they can approach such authorities for the decision. The act does not apply to person whose wage is rupees 18,000 or more per month. That means all those employees or workers who draw 18,000 or more salary do not come under the coverage of this act. The act also provides to the effect that a worker can contract out of any right conferred upon him under this act. Responsibility for payment of wages according to section 3 Every employer shall be responsible for the payment to person employed by him of all wages required to be paid. Now, this is we can say a common understanding, but this point, somewhere reflects the relationship between employer and employee. Now, whenever the employee is being employed by the employer for, getting certain kind of services, then for the services, the remuneration in terms of wages and salaries has to be paid by the employer. In the case of the factory, manager of that factory shall be liable to pay the wages to employees and employed by him. That means in this case, when we talk about factories, there are some managers, supervisors who are hired to look into the day-to-day affairs, payment and maintenance of such registers. So in this case, where the employer is not directly associated, in the employment of the employee, then you're the managers who are assigned the duty or are who are responsible for the payment of wages will be catch hold if anything goes wrong. In the case of industrial or other establishment, personal responsibility of supervision shall be liable for the payment of the wages to employees employed by him. As we have discussed that in some establishments there are no managers as such, but then there are supervisors who take care of the establishment. So in this case, the supervisor becomes the ultimate authority or the person responsible for the payment of wages, timely payment of wages and other concerns related to wages. In the case of railways, a person nominated by the railway administration for a specified area shall be liable for the payment of wages to the employees. In the case of contractor, a person designated such contractor who is directly under his charge shall be liable for the payment of the wages to employees. Now, here we are talking about contractors. Who are contractors? Contractors somewhere are middlemen or agents between the primary employer and the employee or worker. Now, when we talk about such contract labors or contractors, now there may be various situations wherein the contractor has less number of contract workers working under him. So in that case, contractor directly becomes liable for the payment of wages to that workers or employees. But then when there are large number of contract labors under him, the contractor may designate a person to look after the payment payment of wages and maintaining such registers. So in that case, the person who is designated or assigned that duty of payment of wages will be responsible for payment of wages to contract laborers. If he fails to pay wages to employees, person who employed the employee shall be liable for the payment of wages. So as we have discussed, if the contractor or the person designated who actually has to pay payment of wages to the laborers fails to do so, the primary employer becomes responsible for the payment of wages. Under section 5 subsection 3, with the consultation of the central government, state government having power and can change the person responsible for the payment of wages in railways. So as we have discussed in the earlier slides that when it comes to railways, there is some designated person who will be responsible for payment of wages of that particular area. So that can be changed through a consultation between central government and state government. Or a person responsible to daily rated workers in the public work department of the central government or state government. Fixation of wage periods according to section 4. Every person responsible for the payment of wages under section 3 shall fix periods in respect of which such wages shall be payable. So when we talk about wage period, that means, the intervals of payment of wages should be well defined. The limit has to be set. That means, say for example, every 30 days the payment of wages will be done. So now say I have joined on 1st June. So my payment of wages will be done on 30th June or say maximum by 1st July. So such time limits, such periods have to be decided well in advance. No wage period shall exceed 1 month. That means whatever the wage period cycle you might have set can go lesser than 1 month, 30 days. That means you might be paying your employees, workers with 28 days cycle of payment, but it should not exceed 1 month. That means wage can be paid on daily basis, weekly basis, fortnightly for every 15 days and monthly only. It cannot be paid bi-monthly or maybe quarterly or half yearly or once in a year. You can pay it daily basis, you can pay it on weekly basis, you can pay on every 15 days, completion of 15 days, or you can pay a consolidated wages once in a month. Wage period for payment of wages to employees by employer should not exceed 30 days, that is 1 month, according to this act, but wages cannot be paid for quarterly, half yearly or once in a year. Time of payment of wages, now when we have decided the days when the payment of wages can be done, then there has to be some times prescribed when the payment of wages has to be done. In railway factory or industrial or other establishment, if there are less than 1,000 employees, wages of employees should be paid before the expiry of the 7th day after the last day of the wage period. Now say the wage period calculated is from 1st June to 30th June. That means the calculation cycle is for 30 days. But now after the calculation and all, disbursement of this payment should be done by the 7th day of after the every month. Example, wages should be paid on starting of presenting month within 7 days, that is before the 7th date if wage is paid on 1st in previous month. In other railway factory or industrial or establishment, if there are more than 1,000 employee, wage of employee should be paid before the expiry of the 10th day after the last of the wage period. So now here we are calculating the 10th day. That means say for example the salary for the June 1st to 30th June is a calculation period. I will be paid for those 30 days, but then I should be paid before 10th of July. For employees of port area, mines, wharf or jetty, wages of employees should be paid before the expiry of 7th day after the last day of the wage period. Section 5, subsection 2, if the employee is terminated or removed from the employment by the employer, the wage of that employee should be paid within 2 days from the day on which he was removed or terminated. So here, irrespective of what is the wage period, what is the wage cycle, or what is the time when the wages are being paid, whether it be 7th day of the next month or whether it be 10th day of the next month, but in such cases where the employee is terminated or is removed by the employer from his services, then in that case, say for example, he is being removed on 25th of June. So he shall be paid for those 25 days within 2 days of the termination. According to section 5, subsection 4, except the payment of wage of the terminated employees, all the wage of the employees should be paid by their employer on the working day only. That means when we talk about time of payment of wages, it should be a working day. It should not fall on any holiday or leave except for the terminated employee. Deductions which may be made from wages. At the time of payment of the wage to employees, employer should make deductions according to this act only. Employer should not make deductions as he like. Every amount paid by employee to his employer is called deductions. So let us first understand what is deductions. Now if I have worked for say 30 days or in an establishment, considering all 4 leaves which I am availed for, so I should be getting full wages and full salaries. But if I talk deductions, what is deduction? That means any amount which actually the employee should get, but then he or she is paying to its employer for whatsoever reason. Maybe it is a statutory deduction like ESI for the contribution of ESIC fund. Is it a statutory deduction because of provident fund, or it is a deduction because you know, leave without pay? That means he has taken some extra number of leaves because of that. So there may be deductions. Deduction can be defined anything the employee pays to the employer. At the time of payment of wage to employees, employer should make deductions only according to the Act. That means he cannot just like that deduct any amount from employees or workers' salary. The following are not called as the deductions. Stoppage of the increment of an employee. Now say for example, I am due for an increment, but then due to whatsoever reason, the worker has stopped have kept the increment on hold. So if I was supposed to get an increment of 1000, but it is not being paid in my next month salary, so that is not called as deduction, because yet I am not entitled for that wages. It is yet on hold. Similarly, stoppage of the promotion of the employee. Stoppage of the incentive, lack of performance by employee. That means he is eligible for certain incentive, but due to lack of performance, now he is not getting that particular incentive. So that non-availability of incentive based on non-performance cannot be considered to be, you know, the deductions under this particular wage and salary. Then demotion of the employee. In case for whatsoever reason, because of non-performance, because of non-productivity, if the employee is now demoted. So earlier his salary was say about 15,000, and now the salary what he will be paid in the next cycle will be say around 12,000 because of the designation. So that 3,000 which he is being getting, you know, the lesser amount of 3,000 which he is getting cannot be called as deduction. That is due to the cause of demotion. Suspension of the employee. Now the employee may be due to a misconduct or misbehavior on the workplace, may be suspended for a temporary period of time. So for that suspension, definitely the payment will also be get deducted. The wages will be deducted for those number of days when he was sent on suspension. So those will not be called as deduction. The amount above said action taken by the employer should have good and sufficient cause. That means the employer should be in a position to justify any suspensions, any demotions, or any depriving an employee to get an incentive, not giving promotions, not giving increments. So he should be in a better position to justify all the causes. Limit for deductions. Though you know every employer is being given empowered with fining on certain situations, but then there should be a limitation. Now say for example some employee has damaged some machinery which actually cost lakhs of rupees. Then some percentage of fine may be imposed on him, but then he cannot recover the whole amount of that machinery from the employee. So certain restrictions always have to be made on deductions, because ultimately, you know, the amount of wage which he will take home will be responsible for his expenses. The total amount of deduction from wages of employees should not exceed 50%. But only in case of payment to cooperative societies, deduction from wages of employee can be made up to 75%. Fines. Fines should be imposed by an employer on employee with the approval of the state government or prescribed authority. This has to be well defined, and this needs an approval from the appropriate authorities. Employer should follow the rules before imposing a fine on the employee. Deductions for absence from duty. Deductions can be made by employer for the absence of duty by the employee for one day or for any period. That means now say for example in any given period of time, except and over and above the leaves which are allowed, which are paid leaves in a month, over and above if the employee takes any leave, so that will definitely get deducted from the wages and salaries. The amount deducted for absence from the duty should not exceed a sum which bears the same relationship to the wage payable in respect of the wage period as this period of absence does to such wage period. Example, if the salary of an employee is 6,000 per month and he was absent for duty for 1 month, deduction from the salary for absence of duty should not exceed 6 months. So here the point is trying to explain that whenever there are deductions which are based on absenteeism. So say for example, an employee is absent for 1 day or 2 days. So the deductions will be made according to the wages which are being paid for that 1 day or say for 2 days. They should not, or the employer is not in a position to deduct any extra amount which will be more than that 1 day wage or 2 day wage. So here we have taken an example wherein we are talking about an employee who has taken a leave for 1 month. So 1 month salary is 6,000. So definitely the deduction is 6,000. It cannot exceed this 6,000. Employee present for the workplace and refuses to work without proper reason shall be deemed to be absent from duty. Now at times what happens is there are some grievances in the mind of the employee or worker, and what they do is they report to work, but then they are not working, they deny to work. So in that case what happens is, if they have no sufficient reason to prove that why they don't want to work, in that case employer may deduct or mark him as absent. If 10 or more person together absent for the duty without any notice and without reasonable cause, employer can make 8 day of wages as deduction from their wages. Now when we are talking about any unit, manufacturing production unit, the production is at stake if a more number of employees together don't report to work. So to demotivate such behaviors, wherein your group of employees all together, you know, without informing an employer, remains absent. So here, when in any day, 10 or more person together are absent without, prior information to the employer, in that case, employer may punish them by deducting 8 days of wages, though they may be absent for 1 day or 2 days. But then the deduction of wages will be calculated as 8 days of wages. Employer should give an opportunity to the employee to explain the reason and cause for the damage or loss happened and deductions made by employer by the employee, which should not exceed the value or amount of damage or loss made by the employee. Now here when we are talking about, you know, deductions for damages or loss made by an employee, the employee should be given a fair chance to explain whether it has happened by mistake or whatsoever reason the damage has happened. So when we talk about deductions, should not exceed the total cost of the damage or loss occurred due to the employee. Section 10 subsection 2, all such deductions and all realizations thereof shall be recorded in a register to be kept by the person responsible for the payment of wages under section 3 in such form as may be prescribed. So though we are maintaining, you know, registers wherein we are taking signatures of the employees or workers while making payment of wages, but also such registers which are being prescribed in the act, which also records all those deductions which are being made by the employer from employee salary and worker salary or wages. Maintenance of registers and records. Every employer should maintain such registers and records giving such particulars of person employed by him, the work performed by them, the wages paid to them, the deductions made from their wages, the receipts given by them, and such other particulars in such form as may be prescribed. So here the act also prescribes to maintain some registers and records. When we talk about registers, it will consist of type of workers being employed in that establishment. Why types of workers? Because different types and different class of workers are being paid according to the minimum wage rate, which is being stated over there. So if the minimum wage rate or whatever the wage rate which is internally or voluntarily decided by an employer, so that has to be maintained, the class, according to the class of workers, according to the type of workers, like whether it is a contract worker, whether it is a badli worker, whether it is a permanent worker or a part-time worker, whether the employee is adult, whether the employee is adolescent. So all these have to be maintained, all these records have to be maintained and registered. Then when the wages are being paid or receipts are being taken from the employee, or whether you know if the employee is literate will sign on the receipt or thumb impression is being taken. So this acts as a proof of payment of wages. Then some registers which will give you details about the deductions made from the employees or workers salary has to be maintained. Every register and record requires to be maintained and preserved for a period of 3 years after the date of the last entry made therein. Now say for example such registers, such records are being made for say 1st June to 30 June 2017. So now these records need to be maintained for next 3 years. It means for every transaction made with an employer, an employee should have 3 years of record. Inspectors, the state government may appoint an inspector for purpose of this act. Every inspector shall be deemed to be a public servant within the meaning of the Indian Penal Code 1860. According to section 14 subsection 5, the inspector of this act is having powers mentioned below. Now to have a good control mechanism, to check, have a regular check on regular intervals whether you know such implementations are being made or not, such inspectors will be appointed. And this inspector will be a public servant and will have certain powers and authorities to be executed. Inspector can make inquiry and examinations whether the employers are properly obeying the rules mentioned under this act or not. That means all those provisions which are being made under this act are being implemented generously by the employer or not. Inspector with such assistance if any as he thinks fit enter, inspect and search any premises of any railway, factory or industrial or other establishment at any reasonable time for the purpose of carrying out the objects of this act. That means an inspector alone or if he requires assistance, whatever he thinks fit, if he wants alone he can come alone or with an assistance to inspect the premises, to check the records, to check the registers in a say reasonable time. So reasonable time is nothing but the operating hours, the working hours. Inspector can supervise the payment of wages to person employed upon any railway or in any factory or industrial or other establishment. So this he can verify through the registers and records which are being prescribed to be maintained by employer, or even you know the inspector has that power to inquire it personally from the employer worker working on the floor. Seize or take copies of such registers or document or portion thereof as he may consider relevant in respect of an offence under this act, which he has reason to believe has been committed by an employer. So in case while you know he is inspecting, when he is verifying such registers and records, and if he finds that there is some fraud or there is some you know knowingly employer has done something wrong, manipulated the registers, so he may take in custody the whole register or record or maybe a part of it, whichever is required. If he thinks that the employer has committed an offense, he has that power to retain or to take the registers and records with him for further inquiry. During the course of inquiry or inspection, if the inspector is satisfied that employer has knowingly, you know, contravened with all those provisions maintained under mentioned under this act, so in that case, if he is able to prove that, then there may be penalty for offense under the act, section 20. And it is being amended in the year 2005. So what are the reasons or what in what all cases the employer may go for paying of penalty? Delay in payment of wages, as this act is you know contributing, or the main purpose objective of this act is to make sure that all the worker class or the people who fall below the wage slab of 18,000 are being paid timely, because long intervals may not be suitable for those type of workers. So the main purpose of this act is to make sure that the payments are being done timely. So in that case, if the employer fails to do so, or you know, for whatsoever reason, if there is a continuous delay in payment of wages, and secondly, if it is being observed, there are unreasonable deductions. So as we have discussed, that the deduction could be done from the salary and wages, but those should be reasonable. Maybe some of the deductions are statutory in nature, and some deductions needs a notification to be given to the state government, and then it has to be justified. Whenever the deductions are being made, it has to be justified. If there is no justification provided for certain deductions, they are considered to be unreasonable deductions. Excess deductions for absence of duty. So as we have discussed earlier, that how the deductions can be made in terms of absence of duty, or maybe when the employee has taken extra leaves. So it should be you know, at the par of whatever the wages and salaries are being earned by that particular employee, maybe on day wise or monthly, whatever the calculation comes, it should not exceed those calculations. But in case the employer has deducted more than what the wages you know, the employee is earning, and he has deducted more than that purposely, knowingly, then he comes under that offense. Excess deduction for house accommodation, amenities or services. So any such deductions which are found to be unfair, unreasonable, excessive, then you know, whatever the provisions have stated, then the employer is under the offense, for which he has to go for penalty. What is the penalty for the offenses committed? Penalty for offenses under the Act Section 20 are punishable with fine, which shall not be less than 1000 rupees, but which may extend to 7500 rupees. Depending on the level of offense he has committed, it is minimum of 1000 rupees in terms of fine, and it may extend or come to you know, the maximum limit of 7500 rupees. If wage period exceeded 1 month, failure in payment of wages on working day, wages not paid in form of current coin or currencies notes or in both. So when it comes to payment of wages, he may come under an offense wherein he has to pay a fine of 1000 to 7500. In which cases? So in a case where he exceeded the wage period, that means the wage period decided is should not be more than 30 days, right? But then the wage period which he has decided for his establishment or he has followed exceeds 30 days. In that case, he is punishable. He has to pay fine. If in case he is failure in payment of wages on the working day, that means it is prescribed in the law that the payment of wages has to be made on a working day. Wages not paid in form of current coins and currencies. So that means when we have spoken about, you know, the wages to be paid in cash and not in kind, and in the form of the currencies which are prevailing. Failure to maintain record for collected fines from employers. Several registers and records are being mentioned in the provision, which has to be maintained by an employer. Whenever he is making any deductions, has to be maintaining a register for it. So if he doesn't maintain such records and registers of collected fines from the employee, then such will be considered as an offense. Improper usage of fine collected from employees. Failure of employees to display notice containing such abstracts of this act and of the rules made. Now such rules which are being made, though they are permissible by the government, but then that should be communicated to the employee. Otherwise employee has no information about such fines or deductions. So in that case also, it is considered to be that knowingly employer has hidden that information and not communicated to the employee. So in that case also, it will be considered as an offense. Payment of undisbursed wages in case of death of employed person. paid by employer to the person nominated by the employee. Now, in case, you know, any employee has met with a death, then there is some nominated employee or the representative of that particular employee should be given the balance wage or wages for that particular month or salary of that particular month. Wage deposited by the employer with the prescribed authority, the employer shall be discharged of his liability to pay those wages. In other cases, you know, if there is no one to come and collect the wages of the deceased employee, then this particular wage will be deposited by the employer to the concerned authority. So in this case, now he is free of liability of payment of wages, and now he has already given it to the authority mentioned or prescribed in the Act. Where no such nomination has been made or where for any reason such amount cannot be paid to the person so nominated, be deposited with the prescribed authority, who shall deal with the amount so deposited in such manner as may be prescribed. So these are the cases wherein if the deceased person has not nominated anyone, then there is no concern authority to be dealt with wherein the money can be or the wages can be deposited. So what all other possibilities can be executed are being prescribed in this Act. So payment of wages somewhere, you know, gives a surety to a worker when he shall be paid, at what timing he shall be paid, what are the criterias wherein the deductions will be made. So there is more clarity on the employee's part, and there is more, you know, authority on employer's part as well when, you know, certain fines and deductions are being authorized, when it is being conveyed, when it is being communicated. So it the industrial relations overall here are affected. There is peace and harmony between employers and employees when all such things are done timely and smoothly and on fair basis. Thank you very much.